He knows these things because he read the Old Testament. Everything Jesus tells his men in these verses was prophesied of the Savior before he came into the world. Amen. And I said that to say this. If you want to know the mind of God, church, read his book. He has all the information you need to know for both life and death. It's all in the pages of his precious word, the Bible. All you got to do is take it up and read it. I'm talking about the teaching of scriptures. It proves that Christ is risen from the dead. In John chapter 16, verse 7, he says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." You see, Christ had to go away. He had to go away. He went away to help us. His plan was to go to his Father and send his presence into every believer's life so that his work could go on through them everywhere they went. It's the same way for us today. Hey, the Bible tells us that the church, we are the hands and feet of God. We are controlled. We are to be filled with His Spirit. We are to be controlled by His Spirit to go out and do good works and show forth His glory. He tells us we are His workmanship. That's what it's all about, y'all. Let me just say that with all the other evidence, one of the greatest evidences is that my Savior lives is because I know His Spirit is within me. I can see His working in my life. I know He's there everywhere with me, everywhere I go. His Spirit connects me to Him. Think about this. If you're a child of God this morning, we have a connection to heaven this morning through the Spirit of God. Yeah. You know what Jesus is doing right now? You know what He's doing right now? Romans 8:34 says this, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Hey, He's making intercession for us. What's He doing right now? He's making intercession. What does that mean? Well, it means our precious Savior is compassionately and continually talking to the Father about us. He is praying for us. Yeah. Think about it, church, at this very moment, Jesus is praying for you. Tomorrow, Jesus will be praying for you. Next week, Jesus will be praying for you. Next year, Jesus will be praying for you. Hey, every day that He lives and every day that we live, we can rest assured that Jesus is compassionately and continually praying for us. Robert Murray M'Cheyne wrote this. He said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me." Hey, bless His holy name this morning. Hey, when I don't know what to pray, He's talking to the Father about it. When I don't know what to do, and I don't even know how to ask, He's praying to the Father for me. He's telling, hey, when I pray something dumb... Aren't you glad for that one? Y'all ever prayed dumb prayers? Yeah. He's praying for me. Yeah. Think about it. Y'all, I think about this sometimes. I said a little bit about it this morning. I said I was going to say some more about it. But y'all ever wondered how you can be homesick for a place you ain't never been? I'm talking about the teaching of Scripture. The teaching of Scripture. Scripture teaches me that His Spirit is within me this morning. I'm talking about the proof of the resurrection. I know He's alive because I feel Him. I know He's alive because I brought Him with me. I know He's alive because I talk to Him and He talks to me. Y'all don't look at me crazy. Stop looking at me like that. So I take my glasses off so everything gets blurry when I look. It messes me up. Sometimes I see people, sometimes you'll see them. Anyways. Hey, He's with us. If you're saved, that's not crazy. You look at me like I'm crazy. That's not crazy. Every person in this world is under an influence of some spirit. We're all under some kind of control, whether we want to believe it or not. And there's many unholy spirits around in this world, but thank God we have one Holy Spirit. Amen. When you're saved, when you get born again, that Spirit moves inside of you. Oh, yes, and connects us to heaven, the Bible says. You ever wondered how you can be homesick for a place you've never been? Oh, I'm like that. I don't know if any of y'all are. I ain't never been to heaven. Any of y'all ever been to heaven? If anybody says yes, we need to talk after the service. But ain't nobody in this room been to heaven, right? Amen. I ain't never been to heaven, but I'm homesick for heaven. Because it's my home. If you keep reading there in Romans chapter 8, you'll find that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know that groaning? It's, the Bible even speaks of nature doing that. Creation doing that. You know what it's speaking of? That groaning is the language of a citizen who is stuck in a foreign land. You're homesick for a place you've never been because the one who made you is there and the Holy Spirit is inside of you constantly whispering something like this. This ain't it, bud. There's something better coming. Hey, you just keep on keeping on. You ain't seen nothing. Oh, yes. Think about that. Think about it. There's a city whose builder and maker is God, and we're looking for it today. One day we're going to get there. Listen to me, church. I'm just giving you Bible, okay? Don't look at me weird. I'm saying what I'm going to say, though. Listen to me this morning. If Christ is in me, that's what the Bible says. His Spirit lives within me as a born-again Christian. If Christ is in me, and He is, and I am in Christ, that's what Colossians teaches. Colossians chapter 3, our life is now hid in Christ. Well, can I just say, if Christ is in me, and I am in Christ, and... then you know what that means, y'all? I wish somebody would get excited with me this morning. That means I'm carrying a piece of home around inside of me right this minute, church. You know what else that means? I'm carrying a piece of home around inside of me, but you know what else? It also means part of me is already there. Ephesians tells us that He is raised us up and made us to sit in heavenly places, and that is in the present tense, I might add. It's not in the future tense. Oh, son, let me tell you, I can't wait to get to heaven one of these days. I can't wait. I said it this morning. I'm just going to keep saying it all day, I reckon. But I can't wait till we don't have to deal with sin. And we don't have to deal with this flesh. We don't have to deal with our minds anymore. And all this sin and all of the heartache of this world. Hey, I'm already there. And part of me's already there. And part of Him's with me. Hallelujah. The teaching of Scripture, it proves He's alive today. He's real today. He's alive today. I want to share with you a second thing, though. Talking about proofs of the resurrection. Second reason. Not only do the Scriptures teach it, but I want you to notice this. The transforming of the disciples. The transformation of the disciples. Let's look at this for a minute. In the book, or in his book, The Case for Christ, journalist Lee Strobel interviews this historian and philosopher, Dr. J.P. Moreland. When he asked about the greatest evidences of the resurrection, Dr. Moreland replied, first of all, you have to consider the transformation of the disciples. Think about this, church. When Christ was crucified, we read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, but all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. Yes, sir. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. Sure did. Why? Why? Well, they didn't want to be accused along with the Lord. They didn't want to suffer the same fate, so they deserted Him. It's Bible. Sure. Study it. But in only 3 days, church, in only 3 days, these timid, cowardly disciples were transformed into courageous, bold defenders of the Christian faith who were willing to give their lives for the truth of Jesus Christ. Yeah. They went from hiding behind locked doors to preaching in the temple courts. They went from desertion and denial to worship and martyrdom. Now, how would you account for that overnight transition? Huh? How would you account for that overnight transformation? You say, well, world's filled with people who will die a martyr's death for a cause that's a lie. Yeah? I mean, Jonestown proved that. We see it. We still see it today. Heaven's Gate, a little bit newer. People are still giving. I mean, yeah. People die for anything but the truth, it seems like. So, yeah, I get that. The world's filled with people who die a martyr's death for a cause that's a lie. Many people do. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. Nobody willingly dies for a lie they know is a lie. Right? The fanatics who are dying martyrs' deaths, even though their cause is based on a lie, they honestly believe it's the truth. I'm talking about Muslims here, too. More modern day. Suicide bombers. We know it ain't real. But they don't. They believe it. And they're willing to die for it. But nobody is willing to give their life for something they know is a lie. Please keep that in mind. Jesus' disciples were willing to die for the truth because they knew it was the truth. Okay? Think about it. I want to slow down a little bit right here. I want you to understand where I'm getting at. Before the resurrection, before they had seen the infallible proof, they were convinced it was a lie. They went back to doing what they had done before they had ever met Jesus. Boys, it was a good 3 years. I'm going back to fishing. When they saw Him die, when they saw Christ die, they forsook Him and they fled. Why? Because they thought it was all a lie. They were brokenhearted. They had given their years of their life to follow Jesus. They had given up family. They had given up food. They had given up money. They had given jobs. They had given up everything to follow Him. And by the way, there's a message in that that I won't preach today. He still has the same demands, y'all. He told them, He said, the foxes have somewhere to lay their heads. I don't have anywhere. The Son of Man don't have a place to put His head. Are you sure you want to follow Me? Yeah. When some people had come to Jesus and said, hey, we want to follow You. He looked at them and said, you better go count the cost of following Me. So these men, they had given up seemingly everything. And then they watched Him die. They were convinced. Man, I thought He had all the answers. Man, I thought He was the way. Man, I thought He was it. Man, we gave up everything. And now He's dead. You know what that tells me and you? They were not going to die for a lie. The reason they died. You know why all them boys went on and died martyrs' deaths? Because they saw Jesus resurrected. You know how they got boldness in the preaching? You know how they became bold? Because they saw Him. They saw Him after they watched Him die. They saw Him alive. And they knew it was real. The reason they died for the Lord Jesus Christ is because they had seen the resurrected Christ themselves. And that is what transformed them. That's why Paul describes the resurrected Christ appearing to the disciples over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says this, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. They saw the resurrected Christ. And it transformed each one of them. That's one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection. I'm going to say some more about that in the third point this morning. And that is this. Here's the third infallible proof of the resurrection. And that would be the tranquility of the saints. The tranquility of the saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the first four verses, we find the very heartbeat of salvation. And the very heartbeat of salvation is the resurrection of Christ. Honey, can I tell you something this morning? If Christ wasn't alive, There's no point in doing what we're doing. Absolutely no point. Here's what the Bible says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. How do I know it's true? Well, that goes back to point number one, because the Scriptures teach it. But number two, these disciples, they were transformed. But that moves us further into the tranquility of the saints. And I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all just hold up. In verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, we find the very hope of the saved is the resurrection of Christ. Here's what the Bible says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, if there's no principle of resurrection, then the whole Christian life is nothing but a pitiful joke. If we don't have something beyond this life to look forward to, why hassle with the problems of being a Christian? It's an honest question that deserves an honest answer, y'all. I know what I just said. What are you talking about, preacher? I was always told my life would be perfect. Well, have you read your Bible lately? Listen to me, church. I know you don't hear much about that today. I know you do in here, because you thank God for a Bible-believing church. Amen. Y'all, thank God for your... I'm just going to time out for a second, okay? We're going to call it time out. Y'all, thank God for a pastor that will faithfully get in his pulpit and preach what thus saith the Lord, unapologetically. Amen. Most of us don't know how rare that is in our day. We got all sorts of guys that are getting up being motivational speakers. They're getting up telling everybody exactly what they want to hear and making them feel good. Hey, we need what the Bible says. Yeah, the Bible said, Bible's got a lot of negative in it, but oh, honey, the bad only looks so bad when the good looks as good as it does. Hey, you go out there in your car and look at a battery, it's got a positive and a negative, don't it? You got to have both. Hey, if everything in life's perfect, and everything I do is perfect, and I don't ever get, hey, if I just believe in Christ, I don't ever get sick, I don't ever have any trials, I don't, then what do I need faith for? What do I need Him for? It's a logical question. Hey, Spurgeon always said, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And I say a hearty amen to that. We do have trials in life. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's not promised that everything would be perfect, but He has promised that He'd be right there with us through it all. Amen. Better thank God for a good preacher. Good pastor. I know you got one here. You better pray for His protection. Better pray for protection on this church. There's ravening wolves all across the place that would love to get into a work like this and destroy it. Listen to me, though. It's true. Being a Christian, it does solve many problems of life. Solves a sin problem, don't it? It solves a problem of I don't know what's happening when I die. It solves a lot of problems. But it also brings many others. You know, Paul, just like the preacher of the book in the book of Ecclesiastes, saw little ultimate value in life if there is only this life to live. It's true that knowing Jesus and loving Jesus can make this life better. But at least as far as physically speaking, sometimes it'll make it worse. Yeah. Don't take this the wrong way. Please, but if you're living your best life now, you're heading to hell. Study Scripture. His life is hard. His life is tough. I'm so thankful for a risen Savior. He's going to make it all better. Hey, He's going to make it all better. He's going to right all the wrongs. He's going to get rid of this flesh one of these days. He's going to get rid of the devil one of these days. He's going to take us home to the place He's prepared for us. He's going to make it all better. But right now, we're still here in this earth. We have hard days. When we understand what Paul meant when he wrote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, then we understand what a difficult life Paul lived. Paul thought, with all I have endured for Jesus Christ, if there's not a resurrection and there's not a heavenly reward beyond this life, I am a fool to be pitied. So are we. Let me ask you something. Can we in our super comfortable age say the same thing? You know, Trapp's commentary says that Paul can write this, and I quote, because none out of hell ever suffered more than the saints have. Read your Bibles. Look down through the years. Look at the persecution. We don't know what that's like in America. We don't know what that's like here in the Bible Belt. Sure, I know you'll have people that get mad at you, and they'll persecute you with their lips, and they'll say hurtful things to you, but hey, I ain't never faced what the disciples have. Never faced what many Christians are facing even today on the mission field. We're blessed to be where we are. But think back to the transformation of the disciples. They lived lives that the world would look on in pity. Nobody in the right mind would have lived like they did. You think about it, they're thrown in jail, persecuted constantly. At the end of their earthly lives, Peter crucified upside down, Paul beheaded, Andrew crucified, James killed with a sword. Old Doubting Thomas, you remember him? He was the one that just had to have proof. He had to have proof or else he wouldn't believe. Yeah, he wasn't going to believe it unless he could put his hand in the wounds of Jesus. Well, honey, do you know that at the end of his life, he was stabbed to death with spears by soldiers? That man didn't die for a lie. James, crucified. The same men I just spoke of that walked away ended up giving their life. Why? Because they knew it was real. They knew it was real. Christ did rise from the dead. Christ is worth living for. Christ is worth dying for. It's all true today. Every one of the disciples' deaths was because of a devoted life to Christ. Most of them, if you study it all out, they were killed because they had preached and someone very important had been converted to Christianity. So the rulers had to get rid of them. Just like they tried to do Jesus. Isn't it beautiful that under the face of persecution, all this world does is just throw jet fuel on a fire when it comes to the gospel? They're still trying to stop it. North Korea's tried to stop it for years, and honey, guess what? It's still getting smuggled in. You can't stop it because God said it wouldn't be stopped. Listen to me. We know death's not the end. Y'all about preacher to death up in here. Thank God for His Spirit. Listen to me. We know death is not the end. 1 Corinthians 15. Read on in that passage, verse number 20. Paul said, hey, if this ain't real, I am a fool to be pitied. This is all in vain. Our faith is in vain. If it never happened, then we're all still going to hell. But in verse 20, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for the moments in Scripture that God butts in? Oh, yes. The very hindrance of people being saved is their failure to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never need to fear death. You never need to fear hell. You never need to fear the grave or the judgment of God. Why? Because when Jesus died, He was not dying for Himself. He was dying for all those who would place their faith in Him. He was dying for the whole world, the Bible says. He was dying for whosoever would call upon His name. Amen. When Jesus died, He was paying for sin and satisfying a holy God. When Jesus died, He was opening a way of salvation for every person who would receive Him as their Savior. When Jesus died, He was dying for sin and for sinners. When Jesus died, all those who believe in Him died with Him. When Jesus died, He was judged in the place of the sinner. When Jesus rose again, He arose with everlasting life for all those who have their faith in Him. When Jesus rose again, He stripped the power of the grave away forever, and He gave His followers victory over death, hell, and the grave. Because He has the victory, you and I can sing. And by the way, y'all sung that so beautifully this morning. You sung victory in Jesus like you meant it. I am convinced that I ain't the only one excited about Jesus this morning in His church. Amen. Beautiful singing, church. Beautiful. You see, Jesus went before us. He endured the wrath of God on the cross before us. He rose from the dead before us. The Bible says He's the first fruits. What's that mean? He's the first. He's the OG. He's the first. And because He did, we will. You think about this, all of those cults and all these false religions around. You think about the Mormons today. They believe Joseph Smith knew the way to heaven. You think about Jehovah's Witnesses this morning. They believe Charles Taze Russell knew the way to heaven. You think about the Seventh-day Adventists this morning. They believe that Ellen White knew the way to heaven. You think about all of these many, the people's temple there. They believe that It left me this morning. But they believe He had the way to heaven. But honey, can I tell you something? They ain't but one that ever came from heaven and went back. Yeah. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because He came from there. It only makes sense that He knows the way back. Right? It only makes sense. So I don't know about y'all this morning. I'm going to heaven on Him. I am convinced He is the way. Without Him, there is no way. Without Him, there is no life. Without Him, there is no truth. You see, He went before us. He endured the wrath of God on the cross before us. He rose from the dead before us. He has paved the way for us. And if we will simply follow Him by faith, we will enjoy His perfect, His eternal salvation, and we will experience peace with Almighty God. My question for you this morning is, are you saved? Do you believe? Has the Holy Spirit convinced you that it's all true? I'm thankful for the Scripture this morning that teach us the truth. I'm thankful for the Spirit that connects me to heaven. I'm thankful for the examples that we have in Scripture of these disciples, these apostles that turned when they thought it was a lie, but then come back bolder than ever before because they saw a real Jesus get out of the grave. It's all true. It's all true. If you're not saved this morning, you can be saved. Amen. Pastor Tim, you come on. Let's all stand by our heads and close our eyes this morning. What are you believing in, church? What are you believing in this morning? If it ain't Jesus, you need to come get on this altar.